Welcome, everybody. Glad to see everybody here today. We're kind of few in numbers, but that's okay. We are here to praise the Lord. We have just a couple of announcements. First of all, we had three people that showed up for our prayer on Wednesday. And for you that didn't make it, we're going to try and have a reminder. So when you got your worship folder, there should be a sheet in the worship folder about it. It's on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So we have a Zoom. If you have Zoom on your computer or on your phone, you can just use that. Okay, here's how you do it on the website. Because I called Debbie, I texted Debbie and she got me the... We're not seeing it. Anyway, if you don't want to do Zoom, you can call the number and you can just be on the phone and pray with us. So if you don't want to do Zoom, you can just call and do it on the telephone. So you have both ways, and I hope more people come, but we had a good time doing it. So, and it was the first time, and we're going to try and remind people both on GroupMe and on Facebook on Wednesday, just to give you a reminder. So, and then the other thing, and this is a ladies' retreat, and I have to send in the information. So if any ladies interested in going on retreat, state ladies. It's the state ladies' retreat. It's at Camp Bright Branch, Friday to Sunday. So it's a great retreat. I love it. It's like camping, so it's fun.
Did you have a question, Susie?
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Okay, and then we're going to have The Chosen, September 12th. So put it on your calendars, and we will have a potluck, just very simple potluck, after church, and then we will see 3 and 4. So it should be really good. I'm excited to see. The first two were good, so we are excited to see 3 and 4. So, and one of them is with the kids, and I saw it, and it's very good. Anyway, does anybody else have something they want to say? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful that we have a place to come and worship and praise your name. And Father God, I just lift this service up to you. I lift Pastor Teresa up to you, Lord. Just anoint her and bless her with exactly what we are supposed to be hearing today. And just open our hearts, open our minds, let us just focus on you and what you have us to learn this week. Father God, be with us with our singing. Let it just be music to your ears. We're not all professional singers, but that's okay because we know that you love us with our voices that we have. Father God, we just love you, we praise you, and we just lift those that aren't here up to you, that you bless them and just bring them back. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's stand and go to our call to worship. It's Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Oh, amen. All right, so we are going to start with I Will Enter His Gates. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Thank you. Pray that his word will come forth in our nation right now. The next one has just got some really good words. He hideth my soul. It's an old hymn.
Thank you.
we're going to have any prayers that we need to have lifted up. We've had lots going on GroupMe, so I know there's a lot of prayers out there. We need to remember Betty. How is Betty doing? For a little bit. Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So I have a praise. My son got his keys. He's actually a homeowner now, so that is a big praise. He's got his condo, so we're praising God for that. He's all excited. But he hasn't moved in yet, but the paint team is going tomorrow. And then he's supposed to be making an appointment to have his furniture moved in, so. Anyway, good praise for that. Andy's really, he's excited, so I'm excited too. Yeah, so, and we want to remember Tony. Tony's having some issues at work. Okay, we'll remember Tony. Anything else? No. She needs prayer. Yeah, because this is like the second time. Good. She needs prayer. She does need prayer. Yeah. Okay, anybody else have something, Stan? Okay. Okay. Well, we will remember that. That's an important appointment, I'm sure. So we will remember that. Anybody else have something? Yeah. Good for you. And I know they're really appreciating you too. Helen's over there shaking her head yes. So I'm glad. That's awesome that you can help there. That's really good. Yes, Helen. And that it's a praise that she didn't have to have surgery. So we will remember Bobby. Yes. And you're working hard to make sure he's getting what he needs. Yeah. Susie said we could do that. We could all come help you time out. All right. Remember Ted. Anything else? Oh, Afghanistan is, yes, and there's only, 3 days left, and it's not a pretty sight over there. Not pretty at all. I pray for our country. So, all right.
Louisiana, too.
Oh, and Louisiana's supposed to get hit this morning. Oh, and school. And we got to pray for Ivan and his family. Claire is sick with a cold, and they don't know. They tested her for the COVID. Ivan doesn't think she has it, but they're quarantining until they find out tomorrow because they don't want to share. So we need to pray for them and Claire. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have many needs in this country, Lord Jesus, and our hearts are heavy in some of these things. So we have you to go to, and we just thank you that you are our Father and our Savior, Lord Jesus, and that you do listen to our prayers. So we are sending these prayers up to you today, Lord Jesus. We send Afghanistan and, oh, the horrible things that are happening there. I pray that our country can get these people out and safe. And Father, just no more bombings over there. It's just very scary. And Father God, for Louisiana that's getting hit right now with this hurricane, Lord, just protect these people and just let it pass fast and just not cause a lot of damage, Lord Jesus. And we pray for those that are hurting and ill. We pray for Betty healing from her new shoulder and Bobby healing from her sore shoulder that she had a crack in. And also for Ted and all of his, he's healing well, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. But Father, I just lift Ted up to you right now, and I just pray that his desire for food will come back, and that he can keep food down and healthy food, and that he can gain this 40 pounds that he's lost in this illness, Lord. We thank you for the healing that you are doing in his body, Lord, and we just pray that you continue healing his body and getting him back to health. And Father God, for the people that aren't here today, and we lift Ivan and Claire, we just lift Claire up to you with her cold. Let it be better. And most importantly, Lord, let it not be COVID, just because that's not a fun thing to think of her getting. So we just give all of it up to you, knowing you are in control of this, Lord. And we just pray for their family as they stay quarantined and keep them all healthy. Father God, just again, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this building. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor Teresa, Lord, as she comes to give you the word that you've put on her heart, Lord. Just be with us as we absorb your word, Lord, because we want this, your word, to go through this whole nation, Lord. We need you so bad. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So today is the last session in our series on spiritual disciplines. It doesn't mean that we won't come back at another date and time and revisit them, but just for today, we're going to close our discussion and with a good one. It's about practicing the Sabbath. So remember, I try to get them all to begin with S so we could get them in our minds. So we talked about scripture reading, soul friendship, we talked about service and stewardship. And so today, practicing the Sabbath. Now remember what spiritual disciplines do. They help shape us and our lives according to the heart, the character, and the will of God. And so we grow spiritually when we take time to focus our attention on our spiritual disciplines. Remember, it's our spiritual exercise to get us to grow up in Christ Jesus. And so that's what spiritual disciplines do. They help us grow closer to God and become more like God. So our scripture is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And I like to use the New Living Translation a lot. So that's the one I'll be reading from. It says this: remember to practice the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. Verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Amen to the word of God. So this passage for those who may not know, is found in the list of commands that God gives to the people of Israel. The list is the famous Ten Commandments, right? You might recall the story. Moses ascends the mountain to speak with God, and the Israelites are left in the compound at the foot of the mountain. So Moses goes up there. He actually goes up there three times. And when he was gone, Moses' brother Aaron was left in charge. And on one of those trips, Moses returns with the tablet that God literally inscribed his words upon. So he took his finger and wrote on them those 10 commands. Actually more than 10, but the summation is the 10. And so Moses comes down with that tablet to share it with the people. But in the end, Moses ends up breaking that set. And so then he has to go and get another set. But you can read all about that on all the whole drama at the end of Exodus chapter 31 and into chapter 32 is where you'll find that story of him going up and coming back and all the mayhem that happens. But one of the things to take note of is that the Ten Commandments are a summary of what all of the law stated. It's just a summary. There are actually 163 commandments. I know that's a lot. It's like, wait, what? 163? Really? Yes. So what, when you focus on the 10, they summarize what all of the others say and what they're all about. So keep that in mind. And so most of which are all null because they dealt with the temples and the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So a lot of the rules that God had made for them was about how they worshiped and gathered in the temple. And so since the temple is no longer existing, that's why most of those commandments don't even apply. But the 10 still remain, regardless of the temple being gone. Isn't that something? So not a small temple like the local churches that we have today, but the temple that was built in Jerusalem. That's the one that was destroyed and has not been rebuilt. And so the people of Israel remain without that temple until today. Even now, it's not there. So they instead worship in the local synagogue, similar to how we as Christians have our local churches and different denominations. They have their local synagogues where they go because there's no big one temple to worship. So the summary of the 10 statements then is how we should interact with God and with humans. Always remember that. What is God asking of us? The 10 commands are very simple. It's how you work with God. Think of the cross, that vertical relationship with God, and then the horizontal relationship with human beings, because those are the people you see and deal with every day, right? That's what those commandments are about. It's a basic moral code for us as believers. And the one that seems to be an exception to that list is the fourth commandment, the command for rest. So go back. If you look through them, you'll go, oh yeah, this is talking about how we should act with God. And these are about how we should treat each other. But the exception is the one about rest. Isn't it curious that God would place the command for rest in the middle of the moral code? There's a list of do's and don'ts, right? And God states this command in the positive, as he does only one other command, which is honor your parents. So look at the list of 10 commandments. They're all don'ts, except for those two. They're stated in the positive. Very fascinating. Honor your parents and keep the Sabbath day. Allow me to share why I think it's there. I think the command for rest ends up in the list of moral codes because rest allows us to be mindful and fully engaged when we interact with God and the human beings around us, right? We have to be rested in order to do that. If the mind and soul are well rested, we mitigate the need to make something else God in our lives and to lie, steal, kill others, all of those other things that are listed there. regular observance of the Sabbath helps us stay true to who God designed us to be. So, the challenge for keeping this commandment is the how. How do we practice the Sabbath regularly? I think we struggle with the how because we may not fully understand the why. Why does Sabbath exist? Why did God say we need to keep the Sabbath? And what exactly is the Sabbath? We need to explore the what and the why of Sabbath before we can discuss and understand the how. Okay, so first the what. What is Sabbath? The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb Shabbat, which is to rest. Remember, we talked about that before. The noun shows up in scriptures as the day of rest. And you'll see it in the singular or plural because it's a noun, right? So Shabbat, to rest. So now let's talk about the why. The what? Yes, and now let's do the why. In order to do that, we need to travel back to the beginning. So always remember, God's word works together. So go back to Genesis 2. When you go back there is where you'll find the why. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3 reads this. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So the first reason we practice the Sabbath is because God did. He modeled it for us. He looked around and said, I did a good job. I'm going to pat my own self on the back. Look at this. But you know what? It's time for me to sit back and relax and just behold the beauty. So he sat down. He modeled that for us. The second reason we practice Sabbath is because God made it a holy day. So verse 3 says, he blessed that day and he sanctified it. He made the Sabbath sacred. So when something is sacred, that means it's put away for a special purpose. You're not supposed to use it every day, right? You know how you have special china, a special silverware that you utilize, or special glasses that you may have inherited from your grandma or your great grandma? You don't just use those every day. You don't toss them into your dishwasher. It's for special occasions. And so that's what God did when he declared the Sabbath rest. It's for special occasions. You don't do like you do on every single day. It's a special day. So he declared it a day to be set aside for service and for worship of him. So God set that day apart from the other days of the week in this special day. The third reason we practice the Sabbath is because God expects us to. He included it in his commands, and as we read in our opening scripture, if he commanded it, then that's what we're supposed to do. Not only did he model it for us, he's expecting us to follow his example and obey his command and actually do it, because that's what he expects us to do. The fourth reason we practice the Sabbath is because, like Father, like Son, Jesus practiced his faith as a Jew and practiced the Sabbath. So sometimes people get confused and they think, oh, well, none of those things in the Old Testament apply because Jesus came. It's like, well, that's not the full understanding of Jesus' role. Because if you listen to him, he'll tell you, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. So when you look at Jesus, He's actually doing what the law commanded. He's doing what God designed for us to be like, to be just like God. And so he didn't come and say, oh, I don't have to do those rules. Those don't apply to me because I'm God incarnate. He didn't do that. He actually obeyed what he was supposed to be doing. So Jesus himself practiced the Sabbath. Where do you find that, Teresa? Well, look in Luke. Luke is one of the places you'll find it. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 tells us it was Jesus' custom to attend synagogue on the Sabbath. The synagogue was the center of the community, much like the black church is today. It was a place for worship, fellowship, community connectedness, and cultural activities. Jesus, being a Jew, because that's who he was, practiced the Sabbath by gathering with other Jews and reading scripture and worshiping God. In fact, there's actually three Hebrew terms used to describe the different functions of the synagogue. So there's Beit Midrash, which is a house of study. That's what they do in the synagogue. You come and you study the word of God. So I know it's just a beautiful thing. And there's also Beit Knesset, which is the house of meeting. You come together and we meet. And then Beit Tefla is house of prayer. Jesus told his disciples and others that he had not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so therefore he too practiced the day of rest and of worship. And so just as we have those beautiful descriptions of what the synagogue's purpose is, that's what we do in the local body, in our congregations, in our churches. We do the same thing. This is a place of worship. This is a place for brothers and sisters in Christ to gather, right? To study the word of God. That's what we do. It's also a place where we come together and we worship God as a body. That's what church is all about. You come together with your fellow believers. You learn some more. We pray for one another, as you saw earlier that we did, right? And then you go back out into the world and share what you've gotten here. So now let's dive into the how. We talked about the what, we talked about the why, because God said to, he modeled it for us, and then Jesus came along and modeled it some more. So let's dive into the how. How do we practice the Sabbath? Now that we have a better understanding of those two things, of the what and the why. In the Old Testament, when Moses first taught the people about the Sabbath, it was observed by taking the day off from heavy labor. So the Sabbath began sundown on what we actually call Friday, and then ended on sundown on Saturday. There was strict adherence. You know, your family, your servants, your animals, they were all to have the day off. You were supposed to make sure even guests and travelers that were in town on the Sabbath were included in that day off, right? So if your cousins come to visit with you, they don't do any work. If you have strangers who are passing through, staying at the hotels, they don't do any work. It's just fascinating. Nobody, not even your cattle, were supposed to be working. So no one was supposed to work. And what that most likely looked like was the cleaning and the cooking all had to be done the day before, right? So that the servants wouldn't have to serve or clean or do any of that extra work on Sabbath. Now, somebody still had to water and feed the cattle, right? They put that out so the cattle could come and eat and drink. But all of that was minimal work compared to the normal day of full task. And so, of course, you know, being humans, with any good thing, there's a group of people who just have to take said good thing where it wasn't meant to go. And so in Jesus' day, that would be the role of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're the ones who just, they have to go there. They have to go to the extreme. We have people like that today. Again, the outliers. You know, there's a continuum of people. Some people are just far to the right, or they're far to the left. And
the Karens.
It's like, yes, the Karens of the world. It's like, can we stop it, please? Come back to the middle. Because out on the outskirts, you get carried away. And so, you know, say to yourself, I don't want to be like the Pharisees and Sadducees. I can't do it. Don't do it. Talk yourself off that ledge. But what do I mean by that? Well, by the time you get to the New Testament, it's the religious leaders, you know, and the theologians, you know, being in their mind, and they're all so smart. They've studied all the scripture. They taught others how they were supposed to observe the Sabbath. And so then the day of rest was pushed to the extreme, and people were subject to punishment and ostracism if they were caught doing it wrong. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really happens, and it's happening today. Because humans like lists, a nice long list of don'ts was developed by the rabbis. And people began to focus on the don'ts rather than the original intent of the Sabbath. You hear what I'm saying? We got carried away with our own version of what we should be doing and created this list. And now we're judging everybody else by what we think should be happening. And people forgot about what the Word of God actually said and required. But it's what we do as human beings. So this is why we see Jesus getting in trouble with the religious leaders. They didn't approve of how he and sometimes his disciples practiced the Sabbath. So check it out. Check out this encounter, Luke chapter 6. Write this one down. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples broke off heads of grain, rubbed off the husks in their hands, and then ate the grain. But some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" And I just love, love, love Jesus' response. He uses the Word of God to give them the smackdown. Then he does a mic drop at the end. So he says, verse 3, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests can eat. He also gave some to his companions." And then Jesus added, "The Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." Mic drop. So allow me to break this down for those of you who are going like, okay, so what was that about? So I'll share the biblical reference so you can read about the whole story later. So Jesus is referring to 1 Samuel 21. So if you want to see what he's talking about and what he's referring to, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And that's where you're going to find the priests giving the holy bread to David. And yes, it was forbidden to do that because only the priests are supposed to do that. So you'll read the surrounding scriptures to get the full story of David fleeing King Saul and gathering an army. So that's the greater context. David's on the run because Saul is after him. He's got some companions. And when they get there, they're famished. They have nothing. So David asks for the bread to feed his peeps who are supporting him. So what we also need to know about Jesus' interaction with the scribes is the legal background. So more recent Jewish practice gives us 39 forms, is what they call it, of what work that is forbidden on the Sabbath. So the 39 forms are categories of work based on both the oral and written law. It's the 39 forms of work that the leaders were using to trap Jesus. So when they see Jesus and his disciples walking through the field, and they're like, "Ooh, we're hungry. Here's something to eat." You know how you would pick an apple off of a tree or a pear or something? They're just popping the heads off and eating them. So according to the 39 forms, you're not supposed to be doing that on Sabbath because that is labor. And so, again, the religious leaders are like, "Okay, now see, Jesus, you're Jewish. Your disciples are Jewish. What are y'all doing?" Sad, 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 sad. So Jesus has to put them in their place. First of all, Sabbath is not about don't do these things. Stop that. Because we need to be able to eat, all right? God created us for us. So some of the forbidden forms of work they accuse him and the disciples of are reaping, threshing, winnowing, and preparing food. So all of those are in the 39 forms. So they're like, you know this, so why are you doing it? So knowing the hearts of his opponents, Jesus sets them straight by announcing the Sabbath wasn't created for strict rules, but for the sake of humans. Jesus told them, as he is telling us today, practicing the Sabbath is not a mere ritual. You shouldn't be doing it out of legislation, but out of response to God's love for you. So it's not, oh, we have to go and do this thing because this is what Christians are supposed to do on Sunday. Stop that. Because God is like, I don't want you here. You're just wasting time. If it's just the tradition and you want to put on a show for your neighbors or family members or whoever it is you're trying to impress, God's like, no. What is the meaning? Why did I create the Sabbath? That is why you should be doing those things, not to impress other people or not to get caught up in tradition. So let's go back to God's reaction to his creation. He takes 6 days to create everything, after which he sits down and takes it all in. He says of his creation, it is good. So it's not until years later, after Egypt, that God declares his day of observation as a holiday to be practiced by the ones he created in his image, which of course includes you and me. So this is why Jesus uses the story of David. It was very much against the rules for non-priests to eat the showbread. Yes, we know that. That's the law. But guess what? People were hungry. Were they just supposed to starve? David used what he had to feed himself and the people supporting him. Rules were not set in place to prevent us from experiencing and knowing God. They actually exist to point us to God, just as practicing the spiritual disciplines do. So think about rules. If you're making up all this stuff to say, no, you can't, this all this stuff is prohibited, think again. Because how is it helping someone get to know who God is? How is it helpful to get people to experience God if it's no, and you can't wear this, and why are you dressed like that? And stop it. Because that is not God's intent. It's not God's intent. He created that time and that space for us to sit down with him and commune and say, thank you, God. Look at the trees. Look at the beautiful sky. Look at the animals, the small creatures. You know, I have a lot of spiders in my house, by the way, side note. And I'm learning more about spiders because there's all kinds. They come in all kinds of colors and sizes. I have really big ones. And then there's some smaller ones. You're like, oh, honey, you're the size of an ant. But all of those things God created. And he says it's an invitation to stop, to pause and say, thank you, God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In all of this stuff, you took time to create me in your image, just as you did all the other human beings, all of the thousands and billions of human lives that were before us, and all of those who come after us. He's a wonderful God. He's an awesome God. So therefore, Sabbath is a gift to us from God. He wants us to sit down regularly and enjoy his creation. You should regularly sit back and reflect on your life and the world and say to God, God, you are showing up good. Everything you created is good. And I am grateful for it. At least once a week, we should make it a practice to do this. And the reason we worship on Sunday is to honor Christ's resurrection. You know, we have it in our history, the belief that Jesus rose on a Sunday. And so Sunday now has become for us as Sabbath was for Jewish people, that time to gather together, that time to worship, that time to study the Word of God, to pray as a body of believers. But it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. Did that preacher just say it doesn't have to be on Sunday? What? Yes, at least once a week. It should be practiced regularly. And that's why we call Sunday the Lord's Day. But, you know, really, any day and every day is the Lord's Day. Remember, it all belongs to Him. Because we belong to Him. He created us. And so we honor God sending His Son and designating Him to die on that cross, but not just stay dead, but to overcome death and to be resurrected. And so we honor Jesus' sacrifice. We honor His resurrection. And so we worship as a body of believers on His resurrection day. And it is appropriate, like I said before, for the people of God to worship Him every day. But as a local congregation, we choose to gather ourselves on Sundays for corporate worship. Corporate worship means we worship as a group, as a body of believers. And we have, due to our religious tradition, merged practicing the Sabbath, which is really a day of rest, with the corporate praise and worship, right? We've merged them together. But remember in your mind, those are actually two distinct things. Yes, we need to take time to gather together as believers, but you also need to be taking time to rest. Rest. So I like to quote another pastor. You may know him from the local Christian radio station, Alistair Begg. He's the senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, and he has a radio program, Truth for Life. So this is a long time ago, some years ago, he did a sermon on the Sabbath. And this is what he says. So I'm going to quote him. "The Sabbath is a gift to be enjoyed, a priority to be recognized, and a cadence that gives life rhythm. This day is not an excuse for idleness, and it is not an added burden. Instead, it provides opportunity to rest, worship, remembrance, and hope." So I want to echo what Pastor Alistair says. The Sabbath is a gift. We should not observe it as a burden, because that's not God's intention. It is, however, a call for us to remember and to rest and to worship and to hope, because we remember the sacrifice of Christ. We remember that He was resurrected, and we have hope in His salvation, and that one day He is coming back for us. So if we don't live to see Him physically come through the sky, we know that when we individually end, when we die, we're going to go be with God and be with Jesus, right? So that is our hope. And when we gather together each week, when we take time to rest in God, we remember those things and we remain hopeful. So let's look at how we can incorporate what Pastor Alistair has said, those things about how to observe the Sabbath. First, practicing the Sabbath should be intentional and regularly scheduled. It's Christian tradition, as I've said. We use Sunday for that, right? And you rest. But what if you work on Sunday? I know back in the day, you shouldn't be working on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day, right? But guess what? Now, Sister Judy, as much as I like you, you can't live with me. Okay, so I'm going to need you to get your job, be working, paying your rent, so you can live in your house and not be knocking on my door. Pastor Teresa, what happened was Sister Susie kicked me out because I wasn't paying her rent. And so then now I need to come. I need a place to stay. No, please get a job. And if it happens to require you to work on Sunday, that's okay. All right. Any day can be your day of rest. as Jesus had to remind the religious leaders back then, Sunday was created for you, for the humans, not the other way around. So I know you got a lot of rules and regs. Stop that. Don't be tempted to fall back into that. Any day can be your day of rest. The key is to be intentional and consistent. We get burned out and show up nasty to the folks around us because we haven't sufficiently and regularly rested. Mark it on your calendar, the day and the time, so you can plan how you will rest. It's good to plan an annual vacation. That's great. But maybe you prefer small getaways throughout the year, so you make it monthly or quarterly. That's awesome. But you need to take time to regularly do it, because once a year rest is not going to carry you through the rest of the year. Once a quarter rest is not going to do it. It's wonderful times to incorporate that. But what are you doing on a regular basis so that you can show up to work and speak truth and life into your coworkers, to the people that you're serving, to your neighbor? Because maybe you don't go to work, but you're interacting with human beings all the time. So get your rest. Reflect on what God is doing so that you can show up and be present for the people around you and do the things that God has called you to do. Weekly Sabbath is a time to reflect on God's goodness and to rest in Him. Second, the Sabbath will look different for everybody. How you spend your time is up to you. So don't get caught up in the don'ts list, you know, the 39 from the rabbis. Don't do that. Don't get caught up in that. It's going to look different for each of us. How you spend your time is up to you. If you enjoy being outdoors, get outside and give God glory for His creation. If you prefer reading, get your list and your reading materials. Get them lined up. It can be as simple as scheduling and taking a nap. Because some people you just need to close your eyes. You know, it reminds me of toddlers. You know, they're just running around and they're getting continuously round up, right? And you're like, ooh, oof, oof. And then you realize, oh, it must be nap time. And then you just take the little child. You say, come on, we're going to go take a nap. Some fight because they don't want to take a nap. But once their head hits that little pillow, they're snoring. Guess what? You might think, I'm not a toddler. I'm too old to take naps. You're a human being. Please take a nap. Because again, you know, if you see those Snickers commercials, if you're that person, it's probably because you didn't rest. You did not. You neglected your human self, which is needing food, needing water, needing to sleep. So don't be thinking that's just for the little kids. It's for you as well, no matter what age you are. Do that thing. I encourage us to unplug. We live in an age now where technology reigns. We've got our phones, we've got your iPads, you got this, you got that, and there's always something going. But guess what? You can't really hear from God if you've got all this stuff grabbing your attention. Go ahead and unplug it. It's okay. Because you know what? Those text messages are going to be there when you're done. All those cell phone messages on your home phone, emails, all that. It's going to be there. It's not the end of the world, Sister Susie, if you don't answer every single one right here and now. It's really sad that we're teaching this generation coming up behind us that they've always got to be, you know, answering instantly. Because no, you don't. Stop that. Stop that. Not a good habit. Especially when you're answering and responding when you haven't had rest or food. Because that's how we get snappy with each other. And we say things that we shouldn't be saying. And we do things that we shouldn't be doing. Stop it. Turn that stuff off and get into the presence of the Lord. Let His Spirit rejuvenate you. So your Sabbath may look different from mine, but it should have the same result. we emerge refreshed, renewed, and ready for another day's journey. And this is where the hope fits in. When we rest in God and practice the Sabbath, we remember who He is, who we are, and we renew our hope in Christ. We acknowledge times are challenging. We know that there's illness. We know that there's war. We know that there are natural catastrophes among us. But yet, we have hope, because we are not like the people of this world who have no hope. We have our hope in Christ. We have our hope in God. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us about spiritual disciplines and how they can help our relationship with you grow stronger. Help us, dear God, to practice all of the spiritual disciplines. Help us to practice Sabbath regularly so that we can rest in you and make it sacred in our lives, so that when we are done fellowshipping with you, worshiping you, just giving you thanks for who you are, we will walk away refreshed, renewed, restored, and with our hand to the plow, continuing the work that you have given us, that ministry of reconciliation, that we can be salt and light. And we thank you, God. We thank you. In your precious name, we pray it. Amen and amen. All right. I'll turn you back over to our song leaders.
It's just weird. This morning, God had been putting on my mind how it's so, actually, I was in the shower. And I was thinking, oh, I just love that. Doors weren't even open, and the Sunday was such a special day to just worship the Lord, and I wish we would recognize that again in our world. But we don't, so we just praise God that we have it here. So we're going to stand, and we're going to close with, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
Thank you.
For our benediction today, I just want to say another prayer. Lord God, thank you again for your holy word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and gather as believers to worship and to praise your holy name, to pray for one another, lifting up the saints of God in prayer. We say thank you. We thank you and we pause to consider the handiworks. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you for the waters that flow, the rivers. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the fields, for the birds of the air, all of the fish and other animals in the sea. We thank you for human beings. Thank you for not creating us to be alone, but to be in community and to be in fellowship with you, God, our creator. We bless you and we thank you. Help us to practice our Sabbath regularly. And we thank you, God, for it. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you for salvation. I pray now for my brothers and sisters that you would be with them this week. Show them who you are, Jesus. Show up in their lives and let them be salt and light. And until we meet again, let them remember whose they are. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Go with God, go in peace, and go in his grace.